Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Camille. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter number 2. Verse number 1. Exodus chapter number 2. Verse number 1. Text says, and a man of the house of Levi went, took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Amen. I just want to talk from the thought, God will work it out. Amen. That's good news for somebody on today, that God will work it out. There's no problem too big or too small. There are no issues greater than God. Amen. Reverend Bernstein shared with us a couple of weeks ago that God will control the things that need to be controlled. One of the least appreciated and recognized gifts that God has given to mankind is mothers. Would you agree with me that not often do we recognize and appreciate the contributions of a good mother? Amen. They make sure we have what we need. Are y'all going to pray with me? Amen, amen. I'm not talking about your mother, but I'm talking about your mother. Amen. You know, we'll get offended if somebody talk about our mother, but I'm just talking about how God seen fit to bless us with the best. Amen, 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 amen. God made sure that there was a mother, and I got to be careful when I say this, figure in your life. Are y'all going to pray with me? Amen. Maybe your biological mother was not there, but God gave you a godmother, an auntie, a grandmother, a foster mother. He put somebody in your life, a big sister, a cousin, a neighbor. He made sure that there was somebody nearby that he wanted in your life. Amen. Many people wrestle with not being with their biological parents, but if you really trust God, you will understand that God, having all power, all knowledge in everything, knowing everything, being everywhere, he knew what was best for you. And if they were not in your life, you ought to say thank God, because he gave me what he wanted me to have. I truly don't believe, church, that we could measure the contributions of mothers to this world. Reverend Willis, mothers have been and will continue to be our nurses, our doctors, our psychologists, our counselors. Mothers develop our personalities. Mothers mold our character. Mothers shape our attitude. There is no better way to honor our mothers than to recognize that they are a blessing from God. Amen, amen. Mothers share something with God that others cannot. And that is that God has chosen them to be active participants in his creative process. In other words, God has allowed mothers to bring life into the world, and we need to realize that childbirth is just the beginning of motherhood. Oh, preach, Pastor Leggett. I'm trying. They just ain't saying nothing. A mother shows God's love and commitment and gives us a true example of agape love. Agape is that love that's in spite of. It's not conditional. It's no matter what you do. Agape means that they are committed to loving you. And a mother loves her children all the time. Are y'all praying with me? If the child is the president of the United States, mother loves him. If the child is the governor of the state, the mother loves him. If the child is the mayor of the state, the mother loves them. If the child is called to preach by God, the mother loves them. If the child is the wife of a husband, the mother loves them. If the child is a CEO, the mother loves her. If the child is a television announcer, the mother loves her child. If the child is a playboy or a hustler, the mother still loves her child. If the child is a robber, murderer, or thief, or a drug addict, the mother loves him. If the child is a prostitute, hustler, or addict, the mother loves them. If the child is a pimp, Daddy Mac, or Mac Daddy, the mother loves her child. If the child is in prison, the mother loves her child. If the child is on death row, the mother still loves her child. She may not approve of the lifestyle. She may not approve of the circumstances. She may not approve of his or her decision. But if she's a genuine mother, she can hate the sin but still love the sinner. That sounds like God, doesn't it? God loves us in spite of how we respond to his love. He's committed to loving us. Somebody here knows that a real mother's love transcends situations. A real mother's love transcends circumstances. A real mother's love transcends moral failure. A real mother's love transcends legal problems. A real mother's love transcends ethical lapse in judgment. A real mother's love transcends even the worst crime, the worst trouble, and the worst performance. Are y'all gonna pray with me on today? If y'all hurry up, I'll get you out to your favorite restaurant. But you just got to talk back to me and act like you want to be here. Amen. I was preaching in revival last week, and it was youth night, and there was a row of teenagers, and I told them, the longer y'all smile, the quicker I'll be. And if I preach a long time, that's because y'all stop smiling. And I'm looking out to see who's smiling in the audience today, because if you don't smile, I'm going to preach till 1 o'clock. But if you hurry up and smile, I can get us out of here in the next 10 minutes. We're going to be here till 1. Now, I would like to make a distinction at this point. There's a tremendous difference between a good mother and a godly mother. A good mother can develop good kids, but a godly mother can develop children of God. A good mother will teach their children how to read, but a godly mother will teach them how to read the Bible. Y'all ain't saying nothing. A good mother loves to hear the praises of her children, but a godly mother loves to hear her children praise the Lord. A good mother wants her children to grow up and become productive citizens. But a godly mother wants her children to grow up and become citizens of the kingdom of God. So there is a distinction, there is a difference, Reverend Evans, between a good mother and a godly mother. But they do have one thing in common, and that is that they are being attacked by a common enemy. Satan, the prince of this world, has covertly planted seeds into the minds of our people that ultimately lead our mothers away from their primary duty. We can see that he has been working on the men for a long time, and he is still working on the men, but now he has also started attacking our mothers and women by taking them away from our children. Amen. We've created a society that people think in their mind that both parents have to work. And as a result, the mothers have come out of the house and left their primary duty and function to contribute to the family income. And as a result, their TV watches the children. PlayStation, Xbox watches the children. MTV, BET, ESPN, ABC, and NBC watch the children. Do I all them alphabets, and they still don't know their alphabets. But they're left to their own minds and their own imagination. And if you leave a child long enough, they'll find something to get into. Are y'all going to pray with me? So I don't know how and when it switched that now we got hardworking women and pretty men, when there used to be a time where there was hardworking men and pretty women. Now we have stay-at-home dads while mama goes out and brings home the bacon and daddy fries it up in the pan. Do I have a witness? Now the roles have changed and women have become the predominant breadwinners in the African American family. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm just saying what I'm saying. And so we have to get back to the way God intended it to be. Now let me go on record right now, and if you are going to run for president, you may not want this CD or video to get out. I am against homosexual marriage. Do I have a witness in the house? I don't care what President Barack or Hussein Obama says. I thank God he's in the White House, but I disagree with him on this issue. Is there anybody here that would take a stand with me? Now, I understand I'm not a single issue voter. Even though I disagree on this, he still has some value. Do I have a witness? But what we must understand is society is trying to do away with what God has intended and what God's plan is. Because two men cannot produce a child. And two women by themselves cannot produce a child. And the children need both mother and father. They don't need two men acting as mother and father. They don't need two women acting as mother and father. They need a biological man with the tools that God gave him to produce, and a biological woman with all of the right equipment to do what God intended her to do. Now, I ain't got no issues with anybody. I love everybody, but I stand on what the Bible says. And God says it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. It was wrong in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's wrong right now. And it's an attack against the family structure that God has put in place that allows us to produce healthy, intelligent, smart, bright, wise children that come out of healthy, intelligent, God-fearing families. Y'all ain't helping me home today. So we must, if we do it the way God said do it, we'll have less trouble and more blessings. Are y'all listening? Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. And I should have gave y'all this disclaimer earlier. So I need you to be careful when I say this, because there is a lack of real men. and it has been for a long time. It has forced our women to try to function in a capacity that was not designed for them. Now the result is that they have to work when they should be nurturing and teaching. Are y'all gonna pray with me? Now this is where I get in trouble. Just because a woman has given birth does not make her a mother. No more than having a piano in your house makes you a musician. It takes hard work and the willingness to sacrifice so others can be blessed to be a good mother. Let me slow down and say this again. A good mother works hard in her home. A good mother and godly mother is willing to sacrifice. A good mother will endure and put up with and tolerate and show compassion and sympathy and then get on you when she needs to. Do I have a witness? I didn't get 6'1", 200 and some pounds, dark with this salt and pepper hair all by myself. I had the help of a godly woman before I got my wife that showed me right from wrong, that taught me how to love people. My daddy wasn't there, but my mama had to step up and do more than her share. But she always was a woman. Do I have a witness? There was no parades of Tom, Dick, and Harry in and out of the front door. The only uncles I had were the uncles that my grandmother had as children. And I'm simply saying she could have done a whole lot of other stuff, but she sacrificed for the household, for the family. And as much as it pained her from time to time, she had to lay hands on us. Or she had to lay the extension cord on us. Or the broom, or the shoe, or the iron, whatever was within reach. And I said that to say that it got me to where I am right now. Do I have a witness? She drugged me to Sunday school. You heard me say it before. My mother had a drug problem. She drugged me to Sunday school. She drugged me to BTU. She drugged me to Bible study. She drugged me to layman's meeting. She drugged me to choir rehearsal. And I was there whether I wanted to be or not. A good mother knows what's best for her children. You know, children want to grow up and eat ice cream and cupcakes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And as much as they want you to be happy and pleased, they're only going to give you what you deserve and what you need. Do I have a witness? And so a good mother knows how to hold back and then knows how to give. Do I have a witness? I'm reminded of the scene in the movie Ray, where little Ray was losing his eyesight. And he was crawling on the floor trying to find a cricket. And his mother turned and seen her baby losing his eyesight. She'd already lost one child, and this is the only child she has left. And you know in her heart she wants to do all she can for that one child. But as she's watching her child, she starts to go to help her, but then she puts some restraints on her love. She holds back so that little Ray can find the cricket on his own. And every now and then, a godly mother will put some restraints on her love. Because if she keeps giving and giving and giving, she'll raise a lazy, no good, dirty type of man who will just depend on women to take care of him. But a good mother will let that child get their own cricket. Do I have a witness? Sometimes we, even as fathers, got to put some restraints on our love and quit giving to the children so much because they have to get their own cricket. Do I have a witness? And so as we continue with the lesson on today, now this is where, because a woman gives birth does not make her a mother. It takes hard work and the willingness to sacrifice. You've seen it on TV. You've heard the stories of it only being two pieces of apple pie in the house, and there's the mother and three children, and the mother would give the children the apple pie and she would without. You've heard the stories of how mothers would give their very best to some kids who don't appreciate what they have given. Y'all not saying nothing. The story is told of a young lady who was in college, and in college she was getting ready to graduate, and she did not invite her mother to her college graduation. See, her mother was burnt in a fire and badly disfigured and had burn marks and no hair and missing fingers. And this happened early in life. And all the girl knew was that her mother would make people uncomfortable. So when the girl was in school, in elementary and playing soccer, she was always embarrassed when her mother would come, so she wouldn't tell her mother when the soccer games were. When the girl got to middle school and was playing volleyball and was a great athlete, and she never told her mother when the volleyball games were, because her mother made people uncomfortable with her appearance. And so she would never tell her about the activities she was involved in. And so all through her life, she was successful, and she had good grades and was able to get a scholarship both as an athlete and as a scholar. And it was an exceptional girl who was real talented, but she was embarrassed of her mother. And so now mother knows she's been sending money to the girl, paying college tuition, and she knew it was about time for her daughter to graduate. So mother got on the internet and got the information and packed her bag, and she didn't even have luggage to take. She took baggage. She had some plastic bags and put her stuff in the bag, got on the train, and then got on the bus and got there just in time for the graduation. And when the gate called the girl's name, the mother stood up and shouted and cried, "Thank you, Jesus. That's my baby." And the people looked at her and they were moving away because she was disfigured and did not look presentable and was making people uncomfortable. And so as the girl came down after the graduation, she was embarrassed to go to her mother. All the people were looking at her, and the girl said to her mother, "What are you doing here? Why did you come? You're embarrassing me. I didn't want you to be here. I didn't want anybody to see you." And the mother looked at her with tears rolling down her face and said, "Baby, I scrubbed floors to pay for you to go to college." She said, "I sold all my possessions to pay for you to go to college. I worked 3 and 4 jobs sometimes to pay for you to go to college. Why are you ashamed of me?" And she said, "Look at you. You have no hair. You're burned up. Your body is scarred. You have missing fingers. Who wants to be seen with you?" And the mother said, "Do you know how I got this way?" And the girl said, "No, you've been like this all my life." She said, "Hold up, baby, let me tell you what happened. You see, when you were 6 months old, I was at work and your daddy was home drunk and fell asleep, and a cigarette fell on the floor and the house caught on fire. And I was on my way home when I seen all of the fire trucks, and I got they said nobody can go into the building, and I seen your daddy standing to the side, and I said, 'Where's my baby?' And she said, 'She's in the house.' And she broke loose from the fireman and made her way through the door, ran through the fire, got to the crib, got the baby, ran out of the house, came out with her baby, but she was badly burned, but the baby was all right. And now," she said, "and you don't want me to be at your graduation when I put my life on the line for you? We gotta appreciate who our mothers are and what they done to get us to this point. And thank God for mothers who love their children. Are y'all praying with me? Now let me deal with the text. There's a woman by the name of Jochebed who's Moses' mother. The Pharaoh wanted to kill all of the male children, but this one God had his hand on. The midwives feared God more than they did Pharaoh, so they would not kill the Hebrew boys and tell them by the time we get there, the babies are already born. This one was special. 3 months, the mother hid him. But then her desperation got to a point where she couldn't hide him anymore. And she took her child, made an ark and fixed it up and put the baby in the ark and then put him out on the water. Desperate times calls for desperate measures. This woman did not want her child to die, so she set him free. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We've been raising our children and holding on to them, but then it gets to a point in life, we got to set them free. We covered them. We've taken care of them. You've done all you could do. You got to set them free and trust that God will look out for them. Now it gets interesting. While the baby was in the ark going down the river, the older sister was walking alongside and watching. And there goes Pharaoh's daughter taking a bath in the river, all her maidens around, and she sees the baby, sees how beautiful he is, how good looking he is, and she wants him for herself. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And so she takes him, and then Moses' sister, who was watching the whole situation, said, "Do you want me to go get a midwife to nurse the baby? Do you want me to go get a nanny, rather, to nurse the baby?" And she said, "That'll be a good idea. Go get a nanny." Moses' sister goes and gets Moses' mother and brings her back to Pharaoh's daughter so that she can nurse him. And so Pharaoh's daughter gives back Moses to Moses' mother and say, "Take him home and raise him, and I'll pay you." Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. She says, "Take him home and nurture him, and I'll pay you." Do I have a witness? How many of you would love to get a check for raising some of these nappy head, bad attitude children that we've brought into the world? How many, you need to get a check because they drive you crazy from time to time. And here it is that she's getting a check from the government to take care of her own child. Somebody might say that's welfare. Well, it fared well for her. Do I have a witness? And so here she has the opportunity to get back what she gave up in love. Do I have a witness in the house? Sometimes you remember what they used to say when you was in seventh grade and you loved you some him or you loved you some her, but they didn't love you back. And you said in your mind, "Well, if it's meant to be, if I love them and they love me, if I let it go, they'll come back to me." Am I the only one saying that? Here she loved her child. She trusted God. She took her hands off the situation, let the child go, and the Lord brought the child back with some benefits. Do I have a witness? Mothers, we got to let them go. And when we let them go, hopefully they'll come back with some benefits. Hopefully they'll come back and be able to take you out to dinner. Hopefully they'll come back and be able to pay your car note, pay your PG&E, pay your water bill. Oh, good God Almighty, I'm waiting on mine. If you come back, you paying bills, son. I want them to go. I want them to go real bad. I want them to get there. I want them to experience life and see what it has to offer. But when you come back, bring some benefits. Y'all ain't saying nothing. So here it is, a godly mother willing to take a risk to hide her child and protect her child from the forces that want to destroy their child. Today we got too many mothers who refuse to take risks. Do I have a witness? I remember being a teenager, and not even a teenager, a little younger than a teenager. My mother worked swing shift. It's a true story, y'all. She could validate it. Three boys at the house and a little girl. She cooked before she went to work. We had our rules. We had our assignments. We had our curfew. She'd come home every night about 12 o'clock, and she would just see the pot still full of food. And she was wondering, how come nobody's eating? So she never came downstairs. So downstairs was party central. But one Saturday morning about 6 o'clock, she came downstairs, woke everybody up, just like Jesus overturning the money tables in the church. She came in flipping over beds, seeing all our little stash, our Italian salami, our chips, our cookies, our candy, all the stash we had hidden downstairs. She started to calculate. I know how much money I give them. And if they put all their money together, they can't afford this. And she put two and two together, and she said, they must be stealing. So she got us all together, and not one of us would tell on the other. So she got us all, marched us down to the corner store where we had a job working, helping the man break down boxes. But we were breaking down boxes and filling our pockets at the same time. And the man said, oh, these the kids that helped me. And she said, sir, they've been stealing from you. And the man looked at us. I gave you a chance and you pay me back by stealing. But she could have just said, don't go back to that store. But it was important to her as a mother that she deal with the situation. Marched us back in the store. She could have said, this is embarrassing. But she said, I didn't raise y'all like that. And if you steal, you'll eventually kill. And we're going to put a stop to this right now. And right there, we had to confess to the man about what we've done. We had to tell the man how we were committing a crime. We had to tell the man how bad we were. We had to tell the man and ask him for forgiveness. Do I have a witness? And there's something I learned about that situation that my mama was teaching me all of my life. That one day you're going to have to stand before God. One day you're going to have to confess your sins. So you better confess them now of your own volition rather than standing before him when the record books are open for everyone to see what you've done. And I thank God that she taught me about confessing. I thank God that she taught me about asking for forgiveness, because it came a time in my life where I needed to fall on my knees and confess my sins. There came a time in my life where I had to repent and ask God for forgiveness. Do I have a witness? A godly mother don't mind embarrassing her children if it'll keep them out of trouble. A godly mother don't mind showing up at the school with rollers in a bathrobe and flip-flops with a belt in their hand saying, not my child, not today. Do I have a witness? I know y'all can picture in today's society a woman walking the streets with curlers in her hair, flip-flops in a bathrobe. And you gotta say, mother is on a mission. She not caring about her appearance, but she's caring about her child. Do I have a witness? Sometimes you gotta get ugly for the one you love. Do I have a witness? Can you see Jesus getting ugly on Calvary? Nails in his hand, crown of thorn on his head, nails in his feet, getting ugly for the one he loves. I'm glad today that he died so I could live. See, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know he's all right. You see, let me finish the story. That very baby was the one who was sent to liberate Egypt, to liberate the children of Israel from Egypt. That very baby who God would not allow to die spent 40 years in Pharaoh's house, 40 years in the wilderness, came back and led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Is there anybody here that has a child that God has his hands on? God won't let them go out like that. You ought to keep praying, keep trusting, because God will work it out. Won't he do it? I'm a witness. He didn't let me die because he had something greater for me. See, yeah. 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 I know he's all right.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.